Welcome into episode 109 of the Oddly Amend podcast. Today we're talking about a specific part of something we've talked about a lot in general. We've had plenty of episodes on being a godly husband, on godly marriage, what that looks like, why to get married. We've talked about relationships in general. We just had one on breakups. So we've given a lot of general episodes with a few specific ones thrown in, but this one today, we definitely want to get more into a specific thing that we're seeing a lot more of, something that I think is a big problem for young men in today's world.
Yeah, and so we're talking about basically how and when to stand up to your wife. So hopefully you know from our episodes that we believe the Bible teaches, the Bible prescribes a husband-wife relationship where the husband is the spiritual leader. The husband is the leader of the home. The husband is the ultimate kind of final decision maker. And we don't just pay lip service to that. But right. And by that I mean, like, you'll see, even in the Church of Christ, but, you know, denominations where, oh yeah, the husband's the leader, but it's basically an egalitarian system where they're on this, they're at equal decision levels. If there's a tie, then generally sometimes it's whatever the woman wants, and it's right. It's the husband doesn't really lead, because that's kind of controversial, and, you know, is that chauvinistic, I should say. And listen, we believe the Bible prescribes a relationship where the husband is the leader. And the husband is the ultimate decision maker. That doesn't mean the husband's always right. That doesn't mean the husband is infallible and can never make a wrong. Of course not. There's plenty of husbands that make terrible decisions. But biblically speaking, if it's a there are no ties. There are no, well, she voted this and he voted this, so what are we going to do? Like, ultimately, that's what the Bible teaches, the husband's spiritual leader. And so as we have this episode about standing up to your wife, some people might kind of bristle at that and say, well, what do you mean by that? Essentially, what we're talking about is if your wife wants to go a certain direction, you believe that you need to, that we need to be going, that you as a family or you as a couple need to be going this direction, y'all are, you know, on different pages, what then? Do you give in? Do you stand up to her? Obviously, we would argue you don't give in. You absolutely do not give in. If it's something that you believe is spiritually important, is something that you need to do as a family, you need to stand up to her. That's difficult to do because you feel like a terrible guy. You feel like a chauvinist. You feel like whatever it is. There are times when you need to stand up to your wife, and that's kind of the whole point of this episode.
Yeah. You said this is a tough one, and this is something that if you look around the culture, man, you don't want to be an overbearing jerk. You don't. We get that. But if we're looking at the ditches, and that's the left ditch, we are straddling the right ditch. We are about to veer off the road to the other end, and all we can talk about in the church is don't be a jerk, don't be a domineering man. We get that, but that's not the problem at hand. Yeah. You know, that is I think it's a C.S. Lewis bringing the fire extinguisher to the flood. Like, we don't need that right now. We need guys that are going to take a stand. Doesn't mean we don't listen to our wives at all. It means our wives are looking for leadership. We've talked about it before, of safety and security being their main need, main desire. This is how we get there, is making sure that we are strong leaders that can stand up. And so we wanted to get into the problem with not standing up to your wife, because there's plenty of people that might look at it and go, well, what's the problem, right? First off, hierarchy is built into every relationship. We've talked about this before. Every relationship is going to have some level of hierarchy one way or the other. Any time where you see a husband and wife like, we're equal partners in this, and nobody leads anybody, it's a disaster waiting to happen. Yep. Because there will always be friction, and then who wins in that situation? Most of the time, if the guy is kind of on the egalitarian, you know, we're the same level, he's probably losing that one. There's a reason why God has set up the hierarchy home structure this way.
I don't know if there's any NBA fans that listen, but several years ago, I always think of this whenever this comes up, of the Brooklyn Nets had the disaster idea of, like, let's put Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden together. And, you know, everybody thought they were going to be great. They weren't. They got injured. It was a disaster. But early on in that, they had hired Steve Nash as the coach. And Kyrie Irving came out and was like, well, we're all the coaches. Like, we could all be coaches. I could be the coach one night. Oh, like, yeah. Basically, like, we're all on the same level. Ended up disastrously.
I was gonna say,
they lost in the first round of the playoffs. Didn't ever make it past the second round. Like, it was not a good – because there really was no hierarchy. Steve Nash had no respect. He ended up getting fired 2 years later. Like, it just didn't work out. That I bring that up to say, similarly, if you have even in a job where, you know, there's not really a clear leadership structure, it's everybody kind of does their own thing, it's a bad idea. So the first reason why, or the first problem with not standing up to your wife, is because your wife's wants and wishes cannot drive the decisions in the home. They just can't. And full disclosure, there are a lot of homes like this. I would say, Joe, would I dare say the majority of homes in today's culture are like this, where whatever the wife wants, whatever the wife kind of is pushing for, that's what drives the decisions in the home, is what she wants.
Happy wife, happy life, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you hear. You hear that, you know, young, I remember when I got married, those were bad pieces of advice that were given to me, is happy wife, happy life. You need to learn how to say I'm sorry and yes, dear. Like, just horrendous advice from the boomers and Generation X. Go figure. But
your job is to keep her happy.
Right. Like, your job is to keep her. None of those things are true. None of those things are true whatsoever. Yes, you want, you know, hopefully you want to make your wife happy. That's, you know, you don't want to make her unhappy. But your wife's happiness cannot be the decision driver in your home. It just right. can't. And the people conflate those two things to say, you should keep your, or you should make your wife happy. Therefore, whatever she wants to do is what y'all need to do. No, absolutely not.
But why? Because you might have somebody looking at it going, so you're telling me I shouldn't make my wife happy. You're telling me that shouldn't be a major drive for us men, is to keep our wives happy, to make them happy. Why? Yeah. I think there's a very big reason, but I'm curious here. How do you answer?
Well, first of all, I would say if anybody's kind of happiness is what everybody pushes for, and like that's the only thing that's going to satisfy them, it creates a very selfish individual. Yeah. Even if it's the husband. If the wife only exists to make the husband happy and whatever he wants, you know, whatever he wants, then the husband is naturally going to kind of take advantage of that and turn into a very selfish person. But again, I would go back to, happiness does not always need to be the indicator, or it doesn't need to be the decision driver. It makes me really happy to go on a 7-day Caribbean cruise.
Right.
I can't do that all the time. It makes me very happy to just watch sports all day and go play golf 4 times a week. That if I let those things drive my decisions, it'd be a really bad thing. And so that would be my answer, Joe, is that happiness is just not a really good driver of decisions most of the time. You know, sure, we need to do what we can to keep our family happy and to keep our wives happy. They just can't be the only. What would you say, though?
Well, yeah, nobody's happy 100% of the time, first off. Second off, there is a, when you make something that's that fickle as kind of the penultimate in the marriage, the main point of the marriage.
Because happiness and joy are different.
Correct. Yeah. Happiness and joy. Joy is going to be more internal. It's going to be something that kind of lasts. The happiness bouncing from thing to thing, a lot of times that's just a dopamine rush, which you can actually get addicted to. The second thing is, man, you see guys that do that, and what happens with the woman? She becomes entitled. She becomes selfish, to your point. She kind of starts to expect it. And any time where the guy then goes to stand up later and go, man, I don't think that's right. Whoa, hey. That's not what this is about here. This is about keeping me happy. And are they ever going to say that? No, but you can tell in their actions that they have made their happiness the main point. And if the guy ever goes against their happiness, ever makes them unhappy, that's a problem. The other thing, the third thing I'd say is, how many times of growth is there when you're happy? How often are people growing? You know what? Going to the gym and working my butt off in the gym and everything with the muscles, I come out of there exhausted. There's joy to that. There's absolute fulfillment in that. I don't think I'd say I'm super happy to go in there and be lifting weights to the point of pain. Like, that doesn't necessarily make me happy, but it is something that is better for me. Anytime we have a conversation that goes south, that's an opportunity to grow in this. Now, neither's happy in this argument, but it's an opportunity to grow. Anytime I'm studying for a test, I'm not happy about it, but it's an opportunity for growth. So very rarely is a relationship growing if we are just pursuing happiness, because there's a stagnancy to that.
The other, I think that's all great points. The other problem I have with happy wife, happy life, let's take the inverse of that. Unhappy wife, unhappy life. Where's the calling her out for, well, if I'm unhappy, I'm going to make your life miserable? Like, that is a problem.
Right.
And yet we've just accepted that to say, again, the inverse of happy wife, happy life is, well, she's unhappy, your life's going to... There is no excusing that. Why have we decided to... And again, take the inverse. If the husband's unhappy, he's going to make the house terrible. Like, that is wrong. We should not be saying statements like that kind of excuse that behavior, or, again, kind of give somebody the license to, well, if I'm unhappy, I'm just going to make it life miserable for everybody. That's the problem I have with it, is like that part goes unnoticed, but that's a huge component of this discussion. But go ahead.
And your wife will be happy if you are leading her appropriately.
Yeah.
If you are taking her into consideration, if you are loving her, if you are acting in a way that a leader ought to act, that does not mean it's under the thumb, you're an absolute jerk to her, which we'll get into. But I think that's kind of what is presented to us, is if it's not happy wife, happy life, then you're an absolute jerk who just never thinks about his wife, never takes care of her.
It's a false dichotomy.
That's a false dichotomy. There is a middle ground here where, yes, sometimes you're going to look like a jerk when you're standing for something. This gets us into number two. The problem of not standing up to your wife is, who is actually the leader? Somebody's going to have to lead. There's always hierarchy in these relationships. And so, you know, when you don't have to be a jerk to be a leader. The best leaders usually aren't jerks, but it means they're willing to be called a jerk in order to lead. And there's a big difference there. And if we're coming from, you know, she's got to be happy at all moments. No, she needs to be taken care of at all moments. And sometimes being taken care of means being told no. If you look at it, women may get upset at this. I've used this one before. If you look at it from a kid point of view, think about how that operates. If you are only going after, you know, for the kid's happiness and not for their fulfillment, not for what's best for them, then the kid's going to be eating Oreos every single morning for breakfast. And he's going to be eating Twinkies for, you know, his snack every day. No, that's what makes him happy. Why not? Because it's not what's best for him, and somebody put him in charge. Well, guess what? For number two, who actually put you in charge? God. You are the leader of your home because God says so. Not because Joe and Will say so, not because you're a jerk, not because, you know, anything else. You have been called to be the leader. And so who's actually leader in a home where you're not standing up to your wife?
Well, what frustrates me about this one is we pay lip service to the idea of the husband's being the leader. And I think, you know, I'm talking primarily in the Church of Christ. I understand we have denominational listeners and it might be different in your church. But in the Church of Christ, at least, we do say that. Like, we'll kind of read fairly quickly over Ephesians 5, yeah, the husband or the wife submit to your husbands. And like, we'll acknowledge it. We pay lip service to it. But so often in homes, husbands are still swayed by wanting to do what their wife wants. It's like, okay, well then why are we, you know, pick a lane essentially. Right. Either the husband is the leader and the wives are supposed to submit, biblically speaking, or it's egalitarian and both are leading. Pick a lane. In the church, yep, we kind of try to ride the middle ground, which is, yeah, husbands are the leaders, but I'm still going to kind of, as a wife, really lead my home through either my emotional whims, which we'll get to in a second, or, you know, he's just going to do whatever she wants to keep her happy. Who's the leader here? If by being a leader, and this is the servant leader discussion we've had before, if by being a leader, servant leader, that means you just do what everybody else wants, so that, you know, essentially so that you, again, either keep them happy or they think you're a servant or whatever, that's not the right way to lead. And that's just completely wrong. That's the wrong way to lead, biblically speaking. And so that's the big problem I have with this is, like, are you the leader or are you not? If you're going to choose to give that up, first of all, you're wrong for that. But then at least do it, you know, blatantly to where we can say, okay, that person's not the leader, as opposed to this middle ground of we're going to say that the husband's the leader, but the wife, he's still going to do whatever the wife wants to keep her happy. And so it's just all it's completely off balance and subverts God's design.
At the end of the day, the buck stops with you. You know, if stuff hits the fan, guess who it comes back to? Well, my wife.
My kids.
No. Because she may be leading. You may think that the buck is going to stop with somebody. If things start going really poorly in the house, your kids are out of control, the budget is blown every single month, you guys are going in debt, you're about to declare bankruptcy, you guys are been at each other's throats, who's in charge of fixing that? You can look at your wife and go, I don't know, it's hers. That's what wusses do.
That's what Adam did in the garden,
that's what
too.
Adam does. And Eve, exactly. Yeah. That's what pansies do, is they blame their wives instead of looking internally going, man, somebody's got to take account for this, take ownership of this, and realize, like, the responsibility is like, it's sitting out there. Who's going to take it?
Yeah.
And authority flows to those who take responsibility. Are you going to take responsibility in your home for your kids' well-being, for their behavior, for your wife's behavior from time to time? You know, she's out there gossiping in the church. That comes back to you. You go, well, man, she's her own person. What are you going to do? Like, I don't know. Well, God's going to judge you when it comes down to the end of it, you know, right? At the judgment, you're going to stand there for your wife and say, God, here's my account for how she was. Well, she split two churches because she couldn't stop running her mouth, and what are you going to do? Like, he put you in charge.
Yeah.
He asked you to be leader. And so that's one of the biggest issues. I know this is number two. We got number three on here for the problem not standing up to your wife is God has made you a leader in your home. When you are giving it over to her, she's not going to stand there in the judgment for, you know, she will for herself for certain things, not for the family, you will. And second off, if things are not good in the family and you're kind of shirking responsibility, what you're saying is, okay, wife, you go fix it. You go fix it. You go deal with this. Don't be surprised when she doesn't respect you. Which gets us into number three.
Yeah, number three, the third problem with, you know, not standing up to your wife is respect. If you're always bowing to her wishes and she's running the family due to whatever she wants to do and you're not really leading, she's not going to respect you and you're not going to respect yourself. Might sound harsh. That's the way it works out is, once again, if you're not leading or you're kind of, once again, just you're leading, but it's just whatever she wants to do, even whatever the kids want to do, whatever it is, you're not going to be respected as the leader of the family by your wife, by your kids. You're also not going to respect yourself because, you know, deep down, like, you know, like, you're, if you wanted to go a different route, it would not be tolerated or allowed because, again, everybody would get upset, or your wife, whatever. you're not going to respect yourself. And so right. the respect is the third problem with it. Joe, I want to talk about this next thing. So we're going to get to it here to kind of wrap up. How and when? How should you stand up to your wife? Like, what tone should you take? All those things. And then when? When are some times that you might need to? But before we get to that, Joe, I've got on here because I think we have seen this plenty. And so we want to make sure that we're clear on this is something to watch out for. And that is, watch out for your wife leading you through subtly through emotional whims. By that I mean, and then Joe, if you want to elaborate, because you deal with this, I'm sure, way more in your therapy and all those, you know, kind of those situations that you deal with. She's never going to come out and outright oppose you on a decision. You make a decision, yep. and you know, let's say she agrees, but she is going to make sure that you know that she is not happy with it. And so her emotions, her emotional whims are going to subtly influence you to where you don't want to make her grumpy. Like, she's going to just really not be herself. She's going to be kind of grumpy. She's going to, you know, again, just kind of drop hints that you know that she's upset with her. Or I'm sorry, that you know that she's upset with you because of the decision that you made. And so guess what a lot of guys do? Well, I don't really want to deal with that. I want her to, you know, be happy. I want her to sleep with me in some instances. Let's say she does that.
Yes, I am.
So I'm just going to make the decision that she wants. She's still leading you then. She is still leading you. Just it's subtly. It's not, again, I'm going to oppose you and say we should do this. It's subtle and through the emotional whims. What thoughts do you have on that?
What your wife thinks is very important. But if that is the driving factor of, man, she's using sex as a bargaining chip. Like, I'm just not. She's taking that away from me, or all of a sudden she's got the cold shoulder, and night after night she's not even kissing me goodnight, and she's kind of rolling to her side of the bed. She's running me down with the kids. Man, is walking on eggshells around her because she's in such a bad mood, or she's shooting me daggers, or she used to make my lunch as I was going, and now she won't make my lunch again. And you're having to think about this, and that is the weight behind every decision you make, is like, she's going to stop making my lunches, man. Like, this is going to be really rough. I'm going to come home. She's not going to talk to me for the rest of the night. And you're having to think through that exactly as Will said. Guess who's leading in that situation? So what do you do? I mean, if that is the situation, there's plenty of wives that do it. You call it out.
You have no other option.
That's exactly it. You call it out and you go, absolutely not. You can be mad at me all you want. I haven't had, my wife is fantastic, but early on in the marriage, a couple times, you know, where you have to end up, she doesn't listen to this anyway, so that's fine. I can say whatever I want, she wouldn't know. But early on in the marriage, we had a few of these moments, and it was kind of like, so? I see you're upset. I see your ticks. That's not going to sway me. That doesn't mean that I'm going to change my decision. What I said is what I said. And I can understand that you're upset, and I'm sorry that you're upset by that. That doesn't change one bit of the decision that I made. And it was kind of like,
All of
a sudden, the power is gone. Like, go throw your hissy fit. You can be upset. You can be mad at the decision that I made. I care about your emotions, and I care about why. But at the end of the day, where respect comes from is, I have listened to your side. I have taken into account. I do love you to death. And I still went in a different direction, which means you do have to respect it. It wasn't me just unilaterally deciding, man, I don't care what you have to say. No, I did care about what you had to say, and I just thought it was wrong. And I'm allowed, as a man, I'm allowed to make that decision and think that you're wrong, and this is the direction we're going in the home. You may dislike it, and you may try to emotionally manipulate me. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Emotional manipulation is a good way to phrase that, because that's exactly what it is. Whether it's subconscious or whether it's, hopefully not, but malicious, of like, I'm going to emotionally manipulate. Don't be swayed by that. I wanted to say one thing before we get to the how very quickly, and that is, listen, we're talking about kind of going, you know, going different ways on different decisions. Hopefully, if you're married to this person, you're not going to have a lot of those. Hopefully, you're on the same page about a lot of things, and you're not going to have a lot of disagreements about specifically big things like homeschooling the kids, or where are we going to live, what job should I take, like that kind of stuff. Hopefully, you are, you know, can agree on. But the other thing that I would say is, this is not about just you as the husband saying, well, you know what, I don't really care what you do, I'm going to do what I want to do. It's not that at all. And there are, again, people will create the false dichotomy or the straw man or whatever the logical fallacy is. Oh, so you're saying that you should just be a dictator. Like, no, it's not what we're saying. In fact, let's go ahead and get into the how, because it kind of ties into what I'm saying here. Yeah. How should you say to your wife? Communicate and have open conversation with her about the decision. Hopefully this is kind of a given. Hopefully this goes without saying, but hopefully you are talking to her, having these conversations about, hey, this is why I think this is the right decision. This is kind of where my mind's going. And maybe you even do get her thoughts. Hey, what are your thoughts? And kind of where are you on this? That is perfectly – first of all, I would say that is expected. Like, you should be doing – this should not be a, You know, I really don't want to hear from you. This is the decision I'm making. I'm the man of the house. I can decide. If that's your attitude, it's the wrong attitude. And it's just – it's you're not leading the way that you're supposed to. Hopefully, you are communicating and having open conversation about the decision. But that does include exactly what Joe said, which is, let's say she's made her position clear. Communicate with her and tell her openly, like, I don't think that's right. Like, I don't agree, and here's why. We are going to go this direction, and here's why. If you just kind of clam up and move the family in a certain direction and don't talk to her about it, you're only going to create problems for yourself. Right. And so even if the conversation might be a tad bit uncomfortable, you got to communicate with her. You got to have open conversation about it.
You have to realize a lot of the emotional whims are her just wanting to be heard and her wanting to be validated in what it is. It's not always even about her getting her way as much as it is she really wants to know that you heard her. Mm. If you are having this open conversation with her, you go, I hear you. I hear you, love. I understand that. I get that of where you're coming from. But this is why I disagree, and this is the direction we're going in. And we'll get into when, because you may look at it and go, when is that actually going to take place? You know, when would I need this? Hopefully you don't have like a bazillion of one of these opportunities right, in your yeah. marriage. You may have a lot more early on, and then things kind of settle down. But if you're openly communicating about these things consistently, what you'll find is you are giving her a voice and you're giving her a platform to know you are listening to her. And if you never, ever go her way and it's like every single time she brings up, nope, we're not going to do it because I got to prove that I'm the man, then that's not right either. Sometimes a subordinate within military or at a job or whatever else can come up with a great idea and you go, wow, that's fantastic. Thank you for bringing that to me. That's a great idea. I didn't even think about that. Validate her in that and go, man, I'm so glad that I have you. I'm glad that you brought that to me because I wasn't thinking about that side of it at all. It may not even change your decision, but you validate that I am hearing you and I really appreciate your input on this. That's what she wants, is to know you care about her input. And so if you're communicating that, I think that's fantastic. The second thing we have is be honest about why her behavior is wrong. If she is emotionally manipulating, if she is kind of throwing the hissy fit, whatever it is, because of a decision you made, and I realize me calling it a hissy fit probably doesn't sound super nice, but I'm just calling it as I see it. A tantrum. Calling it as I see it. Let her know why that's wrong. Instead of just like burying your head in the sand or going to work and staying at work for 12 hours because you don't want to come home and it's like, oh man, you know, we'll just kind of get through this one and just wait it out type of thing. No. Be a man. Go in there and say, look, you're not going to use sex as a bargaining chip. Look, I'm not going to walk on eggshells in my own home because you're upset at the decision that I made. I'm listening to you and I love you and I care about you and I want to continue to have a relationship where you can bring these things to me, but I'm not going to make my decisions off of your emotional whims, and I'm going to be very clear on that. Very clear. We'll have a logical conversation, and then it's my job to lead, and God has put me in charge to lead. And we just let her know why that behavior is wrong and why it's not going to work with you.
Honest and open is the key. I mean, that's what, for the first two. Communicate yep. and have open conversation about the decision, and then be honest with her about, this is wrong. Like, again, as Joe said, I don't want to echo everything. Like, this behavior is wrong, or I can see what you're trying to do, and this is just not going to work. The third thing, share with her the reasons why. If you're deciding to move a couple states away or go take yep. another job, she deserves to know why. Again, if you're the guy that's just making all these decisions kind of without talking to her about it and just, you know, I'm the man, I get to decide. Wrong way to go about it. Share with her the reasons why. Hey, honey, this is really why yep. I think this is best for our family, moving congregations, whatever it may be. There's all kind of examples we could give. But Joe, let's talk about when. So we talked about the how. What about the when? When are instances where this might take place, as we've already said a couple times, hopefully not often. But I would say in just about every marriage, there are going to be instances where, because this is what we talked about this before, where the 65-year-old couples that say, oh, we never argued. That's not great. What that probably means, is the husband just whatever the wife wanted to do. That way, dear. That way we avoid the argument. Like, if people are coming to you saying that they never argued, then again, the husband is probably letting the wife lead. Different soapbox for us to get on later. But you're probably going to have instances where there's going to be a little friction, a little conflict, two differing opinions specifically. Yep. And I would say I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's good that you guys might have differing viewpoints, because it's going to help you figure out how Correct. Do we come to this agreement? How do we work together? How do we still live together? How do I, as the wife, submit to the husband's authority? How do I, as the husband, still show love and care to my wife, even though I disagree and we're going to go a different direction? These are all things that need to get worked out to some extent. And as Joe said, it might be early on in the marriage. Whenever it is, you're going to have these. So Joe, when are some instances where you might see this?
Yeah, and arguments are an opportunity for growth. Just remember that. Every argument is an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity to connect. With these decisions, making a big decision for the family, you already mentioned one. Any big decision where you're moving states away, both need to be involved in this process quite a bit. Go back to the communication. My wife and I sat down, did a, you know, a weighted pros and cons and things like that. And we both came to that conclusion. Ultimately, I'm the one that pulled the trigger on it and made the decision there. But you want to have conversations there. You're still going to be leading in this. If you are deciding to homeschool or to not homeschool, your wife needs to be a big part of that process. On the other hand, we want to get her, she's going to be the one teaching, so she's going to need to be on board with this, but we want to help her realize why this is so important. In both situations, or in any situation from both sides, we need to know why this is so important. She's getting incredibly emotional about it. Why does this matter so much to you? Why is there so much emotion to this? But any other decision, what you decide to do spiritually, we are going to do daily devos. We are going to have dinner ready at 6 o'clock. You know, when I get home, if we can please have the dinner ready so we can do family devo before the kids go to bed, or so we can play with the kids a little bit. Those are the decisions you may have to make as a man. We're going to this church, but oh, I want to go to this church. The kids have friends over there. It's not a sound congregation. I don't like the way they do things here, here, here. I know they got a great youth group, but that's not where we're going to go. We're going to this congregation because they're doing things soundly. Yeah, but there's only 40 members instead of 300 members. You're in charge of making the decisions as you see best for the family's spiritual direction, for the family's emotional direction, for the family's physical direction. So those are the type of decisions. I mean, we could go on and on. There's a bazillion and one decisions you make. Always understand her side of it and where she's coming from. And if you have kids, talk to them about it. It's the same situation, though, which is, okay, your kids may be very, very, and I see people, especially with the youth group, your kids may be very adamant about, I want to go to this church. I fully realize that. This church is not sound. This church is doing candlelight vigils and whatnot. No, we're not going to do that. That's not the church we're choosing to go to, and I understand you got some friends. We'll try to get together with them during the week, if at all possible. But we're choosing what is best for the family. Sometimes you're going to be hated in your own home for these decisions.
You got to be ready for that.
But is it the right thing?
Yeah. The second win that I would say is when she, we've already talked about it, when she's trying to usurp your authority, either directly or indirectly. Joe spoke to this very well of, like, you have to call that out. You have to stand up to her. You can't just, you know, kind of go cower and bow down. Okay, whatever you want. I mean, you'll see instances like this where, you know, a decision is made for the family. Maybe it's a congregational decision, whatever, and the elders agree or the men agree. Guys go home to their wife. Wife says, well, I'm not going to do that. Completely usurping the authority yep. of either their husband or the elders or the men, whatever it is, that is a problem. And what a lot of, again, to call them out, Gen Xers and boomers don't understand is that needs to be called out.
Right.
You can't just, you know, well, we'll live to fight another day, choose our battles.
Choose our battles.
One of Joe's favorites. You can't do that. That has to be called out, because if it's not, if that behavior is positively reinforced, guess what? It's gonna happen again. It's gonna keep happening. Yep. They're gonna keep usurping. And so versus being nipped in the bud, kind of, you know, called out in the moment. And so that'd be the second one. I'll do the third. And
go for it.
Joe, if you want to kind of wrap us up. The third win is when her emotions threaten the situation. It is scientifically proven that women allow emotion to affect their decisions more than men. Go figure. Maybe that's why God's designed it for the husbands to lead. Like that husband or men are generally driven more. It's not to say that men can't make emotional decisions. Of course they do sometimes, and usually they're bad decisions. But typically speaking, from a genetic standpoint, men make decisions more based off of logic, and they're able to detach from emotion a whole lot more. That's why they're usually not as compassionate as women are. And so you need to stand up to your wife when you can tell her emotions are affecting the decision. Again, the big move, leaving a congregation, moving to a different congregation, keeping kids at home for school, like all these kind of big decisions that we're talking about. If her emotions are affecting the situation, you need to call that out as well. And you need to stand up to her and say, listen, I, as Joe said, I hear you, I understand you, but I really feel like your emotions are causing you to say that or causing you to want to go that route. We have to detach from emotion. We need to use logic. We need to use you know, data, hard facts, whatever it is. Not to say you can't ever incorporate some emotion into the decision making process, but if emotion is your driver, as we've said before, specifically again with women, as it most often is, that can severely negatively affect a decision, negatively affect a situation. And so that would be the third win, when to stand up to your wife, when you can tell that her emotions are about to affect the situation.
Yeah, yeah. Last one we have on here, when she tries to bring someone from the outside in. She's trying to bring her mom. Well, my mom said this, or you know, my dad said this, my friend. I was talking to my friends, and you know, she's trying to kind of bring everybody against you. Like, well, I got 7 people on my side, so you know, what now? Type of thing. We also nip that in the bud. We let her know this is between us two, and this is the decision. Now, I will take that into consideration. Maybe everybody's against me, in which case I go,
Maybe I need to reevaluate.
Yeah. Right. Doesn't make me wrong, but it means I need to reevaluate this. I need to take a second, step back and go, why is everybody against me? Those things can be important, but when she's trying to bring other people in from the outside in and try to like overwhelm who your decision or whatever, because she's bringing in boom, 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 all these people behind her that have her back. Well, yeah, her best friend's going to have her back. Go figure. She doesn't talk to you. She talks to her, you know, she talks to your wife. And so those type of things, these are the four wins, I'd say. There's probably more. At the end of the day, realize this is going to make us sound like, wow, you don't ever listen. We've already given enough of the, no, that's not what we're saying. People are going to say what they're going to say. In this day and age, having a podcast like this, I think not for our listeners too much, but for average person, they're going to look at this and go, how dare you?
Yeah.
This is the way God designed it. Okay. We're not saying anything that's bombastic. If you rewound the clock and we were recording this podcast 100 years ago, people be like,
oh yeah, sure.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sounds good. You know, the feminist movement, whatever, the suffrage movement, women's suffrage. Okay, maybe not. Everybody else in the world would be like, pretty standard. All
right. Checks out. Yeah.
Fast forward to now, and all of a sudden this is bombastic. You can't say those things. We absolutely can. God says these things. You want to live with your wife in an understanding way. You want to take her into account. You want to love her, cherish her, honor her in all those great ways. Buck stops with you. That's really what this comes down to.
My closing comments would be, I'll just refer back to Ephesians 5, 1 Peter 3 in the New Testament. Are you the leader or not?
Right.
Do you actually believe that your wife is to submit to you and that you are to be the spiritual head, or do you not? If you don't, we're going to disagree with you and say that you're wrong, but at least you're open about it. Versus, once again, the dead horse that I'll keep beating, trying to say, well, yeah, I do think I'm the spiritual head, but I'm going to do whatever she wants because I don't really want to deal with the... No. You know,
she's the neck that turns the head. You've heard that one, right?
Right, yeah.
She's the neck that turns the head.
Behind every man is a good woman making the decisions. Like, okay, yeah, that's right. That's kind of the way the culture defines it. But again, I would just refer back to God chose you to be the leader. And so what does that mean? And it means in some instances, you're going to stand up to your wife, or you have to stand up to your wife, you have to stand up to your kids, you have to stand up to whoever it is. That's what makes a good leader.
And one other thing that I'll say, and we forgot to say this, your wife may not be trying to lead. Maybe she's trying to spur you on to be the best version of yourself. Maybe she's trying to spur you on to lead. If she's always the one coming up with, what if we read this book? What if we did devos with the kids? What if we, you know, what do you think about homeschooling? What do you think about this?
If she's the one setting the goals.
If she's the one setting the goals, she's the one setting the tone of the home. She's the one doing all this because she's wanting you to lead, but you're just not leading. Well, my wife just won't let me lead. No, step up. Step up. There's a bazillion and one guys that go to work and then they come home and they flip on the TV and it's like, all right, kids, just leave me alone while I watch the TV. And they don't actually say that, but that's basically what they do. Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Don't be the guy where your wife always has to come to you with all of the suggestions for how the family might be better. You lead. This is what we're talking about in leadership is it's not always going to be the wife coming against you. Sometimes it's you need to lead. You need to be the one that is coming up with these ideas and leading her spiritually. And how can I help her grow as a person? How can I grow as a person and grow closer to God? How can my kids grow instead of, well, that's my wife's job. I'll figure it out later. It's not her job. It's your job. So lead, go out, do brave things, do bold things, lead your family appropriately. And your wife will thank you for it. It will create safety and security for her to know, man, I got a man at home who's actually thinking about me, who's thinking about my emotions, he's taking me into consideration. But I also know at the end of the day, he's going to do what's best for the family. They will appreciate that more than you could possibly know. So those are my last comments.
Great way to wrap. This has been episode 109 of the Godly Young Men podcast. Let us know your thoughts, comments, join the Discord, check out our merch, all the usual stuff. We appreciate you listening. We'll be back next week.